Welcome. Into some tampering
and legal tampering.
Legal tampering. Well, let me, for those of you opening a new box, we missed something on setup, but all right, those, some of you can see that, some of you can't. If you should know already by now, at Matt Long Sports is my handle. The show is To The Half, at To The Half is the handle, because we like to keep things simple. Got my green tea. And just to start off this show here, we might run a little bit long today. That's what she said. Again, it's all NFL, but I did want to bring up this book right here. It's a really good book. I don't know if you can see my page mark here. I'm about halfway through with it now. A friend of mine, Mike Carey, wrote this book. He was a writer for the Boston Herald back in the day when the Celtics were the big thing. And this man here, Marvin Barnes, played for the Celtics. He was like, you know, he was kind of like the LeBron James and Magic Johnson before LeBron James and Magic Johnson. If they had a drug and off the court problem, if they had problems off the court that came, like if you took what Magic Johnson and kind of what Magic Johnson and LeBron James brought to basketball with talent and ability, and you mixed it with Michael Irvin's drug problem and Maurice Claret's issues with the law, that's kind of what you got. But this book talks about it. It talks about the ABA a bit. This is a good book. It's I feel that this will end up being a movie. Amazing person who wrote the foreword in this book. I don't know if you could see that. Bob Costas. When you can get Bob Costas to write the foreword, it's a big thing. Because Bob Costas, a lot of people don't know, he started his broadcasting career in the ABA in college and with the St. Louis Spirits. They had one other name. I don't remember off the top of my head, but with the Spirits. So he knew Marvin Barnes pretty well. Mike Carey ended up getting to know him pretty well. Kind of was a surrogate roommate, nurse, friend, companion in the final years of his life. So just to see her a little bit. You guys don't want to see all the credentials up there. But it's a really good book. Go out, buy it. Mike did a really good job putting it together. Bob's words at the beginning are very profound as well. It's an interesting story. So if anything, if you're somebody, let's say, you're somebody that is into stories, hearing life experiences, stuff like that, you're into culture and people, I think this would be, it would be a good book. It would be a good book for you to purchase, to read. I think it works well. It works well for that purpose and others. So I implore everybody, go out, get the book. Bad News. Just type in Mike Carey, Bad News, and it should pop right up. And go get it on Amazon. By the way, for those of you that go over to the website, here you'll notice a few things. We're going to be making some changes here over the next month or so to the website. The website will have stuff like this, books like this. We're going to have these up on the website so you can purchase them right from the website. We'll have a store on the website. We're going to be doing some more, get into more of some reviewing type stuff. So why, letting you know why you should use a particular kind of water bottle. And if you want to buy it, then we'll have a link for you to go buy it. So here's what it is. You can buy these bottles, whichever one you want. Trying to make some of those things kind of easier for people. I found that a lot of the traffic on the website for fitness and nutrition, yes, that's right. It's our opinion that fitness and nutrition is a part of sports. Yeah. Mind blown, right? But it just makes sense to have it there, more so than wrestling. I'm sorry, wrestling fans. Fitness and nutrition is much closer related to sports and athletics than your athletic acting. Now, not to take anything away from wrestlers. I know wrestlers. Back in the day, wrestlers. I don't know a lot of current wrestlers, but I know some wrestlers. I'm not saying they're not athletes. It's just that I wouldn't rate WWE, TNA, and what I don't know the rest of their names. I don't watch it all that often. I do watch it sometimes here and there. I used to watch it a lot back in the day, but it's a drama. When there are people that can tell you exactly what's happening before it happens, it's not really a prediction. It's called a storyline. There's a script. I know a lot of the stuff is ad-libbed. You understand generally what's supposed to happen, and then it's less rehearsal, so it's more on the fly. It's tough to do stuff like that. So, sketch comedy is tough. This is sketch athletics. That's what wrestling is, sketch athletics. They call it wrestling, but it's not what Roland Gardner did and won the gold medal. It's not. It's different. It's its own thing, and I appreciate it for what it is, and they're athletes, and I'm not going to argue with you if you want to call it a sport, but what I'm saying as far as what I look for a definition of what's sport-related. Some things that are there kind of tarnish it for me. But it's wildly popular, and I would even put it this way. If I had writers that wanted to write about WWE, I would put the content on the website. So don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't have writers for it. And I'm going to go through, the major sports, football, pro, football, college, NBA, baseball, boxing, MMA, soccer, world football. I'm going to go through these things first. And anything revolving around these things, generally before I get to golf will be there before wrestling. Tennis will be there before wrestling. So those things are going to get there before wrestling. If I'm doing it, if I have writers that want to do it, all the power to them. I do something a little bit different, because this is completely off topic. And we are most likely going to run a little long today. But I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they were like, what kind of writers are you looking for? Well, that's an easy question. I'm looking for the kind of writers that want to write. Passion, attitude, work ethic. Those are three things I look for. You have passion, attitude, work ethic. You want to write? Write. Well, what do you want them to write about? What are you passionate about? If you're passionate about college football, write about college football. But if for some reason one night you come across, you know, you're like, I want some protein. I wonder if I can make protein bars. Google. Oh, protein bar recipes. Oh, cool. That's a cool one. German chocolate. Oh, let me do this. I'm going to throw a little bit of this in there and this in there. Do something a little bit different. That's fine. That's fine. Write about that and publish that too. So it's not to discourage anyone from writing or sticking to writing one thing. I want people to write what they're passionate about. And what you're passionate about at that time, what you're really ready to go in, what you would debate someone about, write about that. That's what I want people to write about. So, all right, I'm going to get into the show now. Today we are going to be talking about tampering, legal tampering in the NFL. Yes, the 7th of March marked the day and the beginning of the NFL's legal tampering period. The legal tampering period. And it runs through today at 4 p.m. So in about 18 minutes, we will end the legal tampering period. It will also end the deadline for options for 2017, for teams to pick up options for 2017. It is also the deadline to submit qualifying offers for incoming restricted free agents, for guys that are becoming restricted free agents. So your qualifying offer has to be in by 4 p.m. today. So agents, if you're listening, you know, thanks for listening. Might want to go make sure that's done. Leave me on. You can still listen. It's also the deadline to submit minimum salary tenders for exclusive restricted free agents for teams. So executives, teams that are listening, I appreciate it. Thank you. Should probably make sure that's done. Keep me on. You can do two things at once. I'm perfectly fine with that. But 4 o'clock today, although there's no lit up football that drops in Times Square, 4 o'clock today marks the NFL New Year, the 2017 NFL New Year. I'm surprised they haven't found a way to make this an event. They've got the combine. They've got, by the way, the Shrine Game is an official NFL event. They have the Pro Bowl. They have the NFL Draft. How they haven't been able, like even baseball. The thing is, like, baseball and opening day and the beginning of spring training, I think baseball fans are way more excited about that. I mean, when you hear mini camps start and stuff like that, fans are like, oh yeah, mini camps are starting. I wonder what the rookies are going to do. Let's go out in the middle of the week and take off work to see rookies work out. We did that a month ago, 2 months ago. It was called the combine. I think that they've done, out of all the things that they've found a way to monetize, I think the NFL New Year is the one thing that they've overlooked. I think that I think they could put almost national holiday like appeal around the NFL New Year, the beginning of the league year. It's the beginning of the 2017 league year. I'm calling it the NFL New Year. It's a play on words. And that's at 4 o'clock. So 15 minutes. Grab your significant other or beverage of your choice to press your lips up against in 15 minutes. We're not going to do a Happy New Year thing on YouTube, or there's no, I guess I do have some buttons here I can hit. sounders. We got some sounders. You want to do the sound? Can you do it? All right. We may or may not. We'll decide. But it's about 15 minutes, NFL New Year. So, but one thing I want to hit on is the NFL tampering period. So the three and a half day period, it's called the NFL tampering period. It allows agents and teams and players to tamper with the process and have conversations. So at 4 p.m., and again, it was something designed to kind of ease what was probably already going on with a lot of agents illegally, but it allowed things to get done. And the NFL tampering period's kind of like the Valentine's Day of the NFL. You know, it's that day. It's like the worst hall pass ever. Okay. Cause you're allowed to go out and flirt, and you can flirt. Ooh. You got the hall pass. You can go flirt around, but you can't actually seal the deal. That's what it is. The NFL tampering period is the worst hall pass ever. That's what it is. You can flirt around, but you can't seal the deal. So that's my rig fighting me back. So what we've learned from this, and I'm going to do some team specific stuff this week here as we get closer to the draft and throughout free agency to kind of update some major events on which players are going to which teams, who gets signed where, and whatnot. So be sure to subscribe to the channel. So you can either go down below or at the end of this video, right above the microphone, there will be a logo, should picture of me, or it'll be the logo for the Cold Hard Truth on Sports Radio. Oh, either one of them will be right here above, depending on which channel you're on. Just click on that, subscribe, and you'll get alerts and stuff to when the new stuff comes out. And then over to the side here, you'll get the most popular and the most recent content that we put up here on the YouTube channel. So, so far, the one big, one of the big signings that we're probably going to see coming down here at 4 o'clock today is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. From what my sources have said, are set to sign DeSean Jackson to a multi-year contract and bring him in as the number two receiver. He's definitely the guy that's going to give them speed, and he's going to allow them to take the top off the defense. Adam Schefter was the first one I've seen report on that. I have had other sources that I have that have confirmed that as well. So he's one of the big ones that is out there, and that's where we see him going. So this tampering period is served well. It gives them 3 days to really iron out what sort of contract deals and stuff like that they want, how it's going to work out. Tampa is a unique place when it comes to contracts. I know a lot of people look at it. It's the Greenberg system of contract structure. I'm working on an article about it, so I'll have something up over on the website here in the coming weeks that kind of breaks it down, makes it more understandable. But it's really interesting. So it's one reason why they don't get into cap problems, and they're able to sign somebody in free agency every year and stay under the cap. So it works out really well. The other big signing that we're seeing, again, Bucks related. Again, it's a big signing, not necessarily because, it's an astronomical player, but the Bucks did make an offer to Mike Glennon to be the highest paid backup in the National Football League. And from what I've understood, it was the most lucrative contract for a backup quarterback. It would be the most lucrative contract for the backup quarterback. It was greater than that of Chase Daniels last year. And Chase Daniels, they kind of signed him. They signed him before the draft, so brought him in thinking he could potentially be a one, depending on who they drafted. And they drafted a quarterback, so he ended up being number two. It's so Mike Glennon obviously turned that down. From what I understood, that was supposed to be a five-year deal to be the backup for around $7 million, 5 years, $7 million. That's not bad at all. He is, from what I understand, is his offer would be a three-year deal that it would get $19 million guaranteed. The Bears would also, 3 years, $45 million, $19 million guaranteed for Mike Glennon to go to the Bears, okay? So, obviously, this team, Jay Cutler is done. Now, let me unpack that a little bit. They also are looking to sign safety Quinton Deps also. And Adam Kaplan with ESPN reported that that's reportedly a three-year, $13.5 million contract with $5 million. Coming in the first year. So, but let me unpack the Mike Glennon thing real quick. If he's being offered 5 years, $7 million, okay, so with the Bucks contracts, it's just not a straight number across typically, and it's not a number that escalates every year. With what Mr. Greenberg does up there, their capologist, he, you know, it goes like a market, like the stock market, you know, up and down and up and down and down and up and up and down. And it doesn't really stay even. There's no signing bonuses. Signing bonuses hit the cap. They can do roster bonuses, other performance bonuses, stuff that is actually payable upon signing. The same way a signing bonus would be. So, again, they got a little bit creative with some of the names of the bonuses, the semantics of them. And so they're able to do that. A lot of the contracts are front-end loaded with the guarantees. And then this way, later in their career, where they'll have the salaries, sometimes not fully guaranteed, but they'll have the salary of what they would pay if they were on the roster, and they would get paid that. So they would get the $7 million. So on average, $7 million a year for 5 years, or he can take the $45 million, which again is nothing to scoff at. The $45 million is nothing to scoff at. I would gladly take $45 million, which ironically is what Conor McGregor, from what I understand, is being offered to fight Floyd Mayweather. And the most Conor McGregor had ever made before that was $3 million in a fight. $42 million raise. That seems like a pretty good raise. So the $45 million puts him right at $15 million a year with $19 million guaranteed. So it you're guaranteed $19 million. So that contract says it's 3 years guaranteed $19 million. That's how you should start it. You can earn $45 million and probably some other bonuses as well. But that's how it's set up. So what that says to me is a three-year contract says you're not our future. We want to test drive you, and we don't want to be on the hook for much more than a year and year and a half of your contract. So that's where the $19 million is. It's just a little over. It's a year and a signing bonus and a bonus. That's really what it is. It's equivalent to 1 year plus a bonus. That's how confident they are. So if I'm looking at the Bears for the draft, I fully expect them to draft a quarterback. I fully expect them to draft a quarterback. Now, I know some of you are saying, you're nuts. Why would they draft? They just spent $15 million. They're spending $15 million a year. A $45 million contract on a quarterback for the next 3 years. 3 years. 3 years. 3 years doesn't say you're the franchise. 5, 7, that says franchise. Rookie deals are 3 or 4 years. They're essentially giving him a really good rookie deal. That does not show confidence in his abilities to come in and play. Now, I think he gives them a better option to win if their offensive line is there, if they're beefing that up. That was some of the issues that they had there. But because he is pretty much a statue out there, he's not a lot of mobility. He can throw the rock downfield. He can make all the NFL throws. His stats are good. His stats are good. The year he started, I mean, I think he threw for, was it 4,000 yards, 20 some touchdowns and 10 interceptions or something like that. Yeah, pull that back up. Yeah, I closed it by accident. He threw for 2,600 yards. Sorry. I apologize. Yeah. In 2013, 2,600 yards, 19 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. The following season, didn't play the full time. Again, 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Again, quarterback rating both years is 83. That's pretty good. Pretty decent. He only appeared in, I think, 2 games at all last year. 75 yards, a touchdown. Obviously, that's a quarterback rating through the roof. He completed 90% of his passes. But his completion percentage is 57 and above in the NFL without a good offensive line in those couple years. And he's on pace to throw close to 3,000 yards each year. And if he has a full season in, he'll be somewhere around 15 to 20 touchdowns. So that's good. That's right the middle of the pack where he's something that's serviceable enough to get you going. Right now, the market for quarterbacks is at $13, $14, $15, $16 million. That's where the market's at. That's the price of milk, okay? It just is. You can try to use a coupon. You don't see a ton of coupons for that sort of stuff. So, we're going to run about 10 minutes long today. Yeah, so today will be a 40-minute show instead of 30. So hanging in there. I know we went off on a tangent today. I figured that we were going to go a little bit over because there was a couple things that I wanted to address and kind of unpack, Mike Glennon being one of them. So he'll be the number one going into the season as of right now, depending on who they draft and how that individual performs in the draft. I'm not going to get into who they might draft right now. That'll be another show for a little bit later on down the line. Let's get into free agency some more, and then I'll start getting into draft stuff. But go over to the website. There'll be some stuff over on the website about it. I promise. thechtonsports.com. But I see, that's what I see when I hear that. 3 years, $15 million a year on average, and only 19 guaranteed. They're saying, hey, you're it for a year. We'll see what happens after that. He'll probably end up going to being a backup again. Depends on who they draft and how they develop him. Hopefully they don't draft somebody that is not willing to learn and grow. And they're actually able to make something out of that. So, and then they also have next year too. So I could see them drafting a quarterback again this year. That sounds like they're drafting a quarterback this year. And if they don't do this year, then definitely next year they will, regardless of how he performs. That would be the smart move from the front office to do that. The other big signing is Courtney Upshaw. On Thursday, it was announced that he's going to re-sign with the Falcons. So that, I think, is outside linebacker, defensive end. That's a good signing for them to keep their core together. See, what fell apart for the Panthers last season is they couldn't keep some of their core guys there. They didn't pay them. It's one of those unfortunate things. And some key guys ended up walking. But they kept him there, so that was a good thing. That was a good move for the Falcons. Also, the one thing I wanted to address, it's not really due with free agency, but a guy that didn't go into free agency. Kirk Cousins. The fact that Kirk Cousins got franchise tag for a second year is troubling. I think as soon as the season was coming to an end and they seen that they were not going to be able to go any further, I think they should have got in and paid him like the Bears paid Glennon. If you wanted to keep him around for a little bit longer, don't franchise tag him. You're going to pay him that. I mean, they could have got him in on a 3-year, $50 million, 3-year, you know, you probably would have wanted a $575 million, but you could have probably got him in and worked out the terms of the 3-year, guaranteed him $25 million, and that would have worked out. I think that probably would have worked out, you know. Obviously, the number's a little bit more, bouncing around a little bit more, but a really lucrative 3-year deal. So this way you can, if you want to keep pushing to see what more you can get out of him. And that's kind of telling too. He got drafted in the third round. He got drafted after they drafted a first round quarterback. They chose him over their first round quarterback. He worked out better for them than their first round quarterback. The coach that came in liked him as the starting quarterback, but now they're struggling to find a deal for him. This could be part of it because he doesn't want to accept something less than 5 years. It could be. Maybe they offered him. I don't have a whole lot of insight into that one. I have some lines on the water. So if I find more on that, I will definitely talk more about that. But I think that was something that maybe ended up being a missed opportunity for them. It goes from, you know, riches to rags in that situation. They could end up where RG3 was a bust and then Kirk Cousins was the best. They had the best of both worlds. And now then they're out. It's so hard to find a starting quarterback that is average or above in this league. There's a lot of below average guys in the league. And again, that's compared to what the league needs, what they want, and what they're asking out of them. It's not saying that they're not good athletes, that, oh, I could do better. There's a lot of other better guys out there. I'm just saying that, you know, they're rarities. The guys that play at an elite level as a quarterback are fewer and further between in the league. Now than maybe some other times in the NFL. Some of it could be coordinators aren't building around what they have, or guys aren't developing like they should. Again, I don't think there's a lot of guys in the league that are really good at developing players. So I'm not going to just lump it all on the player side that, you know, here it is that the players that you're giving are garbage. Blame the high school and colleges because they're garbage or, oh, everybody, nobody wants to be in a huddle anymore. I'm not blaming that, but along the way, where's the development? I mean, there's a lot of camps and stuff like that, but what are we doing to really get the development? What are we doing? What is being done to push it to the next level once they're in college, or even more so in the NFL? You draft this guy, you put a lot of money and resources into him, and now you just have him to mold him. It's your clay. You, what are you making out of this? We're making pots, but what the hell you want it to look like? It's up to you. How are you doing that? We need more artists in the league to develop that sort of stuff, to make pots. Brandon Marshall was another one of the big signings. Again, this is something that was, they're saying he's going to agree to a 2-year deal worth around $12 million, which seems fine. That's, it's probably fully guaranteed too. That's a good addition there for Eli Manning. It's a good step forward for them. It's just showing that they want to make sure that they have, you know, stronger components in their wide receiving core. They know Eli Manning is going to be able to get them the ball. They feel like they're kind of working things out at the running back position. They always bring in some new running back core. Somebody's always kind of new there, but they think that's something they'll end up figuring out as they go along. The defense has been pretty good. They franchise tag Jason Pierre-Paul. And that, again, JPP was not a guy that I had an issue with them franchise tagging. At first, I was wondering if they were going to be able to sign him, but I think they couldn't figure out what the numbers were like, so they went ahead and franchise tagged him to make sure they got him some pay, and then we'll continue to work that deal out throughout the time they have allotted to do that. So they have time, and they want to utilize that, but that comes at a price. That does also mean that if he balls out again this year, that could be more money. Again, another max type of deal, and or somebody that wants to come in and pay him more money than you can, or more guaranteed money than you can, and you don't match it, or you can't match it. Compensatory picks aren't that fun if you don't have somebody there to provide you that production. So they have a decent front office, so they find guys. That's the thing, is they find guys there in New York. So not awfully afraid of what would end up happening there. Now, there's been some shakeup. I know the re-signing that was really good. Curley was a good re-signing for the 49ers. It was good for the 49ers to release Torrey Smith. That was a toxic contract for what they need. Opening up some cap space for them, allowing them to do a bit more there. Jahlil Adai getting the safety from the Chargers, getting re-signed. That was another good re-signing there as well. The Cowboys bring back Bryce Butler. He caught 16 passes for 216 yards, 3 touchdowns. He wasn't so much a good as a big role player as much as added depth, and he was reliable depth there later on in the season. Terrence Williams is expected to, from what I've heard, to sign an extension as well. If he doesn't, Butler will be a bigger role, again, for less money. So if they don't bring back Terrence Williams in free agency, then, again, that's something that kind of to be expected. The Ravens signed free agent offensive tackle Rick Wagner away from the Bears, or the Lions, rather. Eh. That make you mad, Lions fans? From the Lions. Which is a good move for them, because I think shoring up that offensive line is one thing that puts them a little bit closer to moving in playoffs. And they're also going to be signing Danny Woodhead, from what I understand. So Dixon and Woodhead are end up going to be a good combination there for Baltimore moving forward, allow that offense to open up and do a lot more. And the defense is still pretty stellar. The one guy I want to talk about And I'll go into more depth of this in my my Bucks, which will come tomorrow. My Bucks update, free agency update. Again, it'll be after the new year. Again, the new year was 11 minutes ago. Happy New Year, NFL. Vincent Jackson. He's an 8-year veteran in the league. This is his ninth season. He's an unrestricted free agent. I expect him to re-sign with Tampa Bay. I expect him to sign a 1 to 2 year deal, which with guarantees, and then a second or third year option, non-guaranteed, for between $2 to $5 million per year average. That's what I'm looking at. I know a lot of you are saying, well, if they sign DeSean Jackson, and you've said this week that they like Adam Humphries in the slot, and they think Cameron Brate's good at tight end, and obviously Mike Williams is their number one, so you got a 1, a 2, and your slot, which could be a, why would you sign, that would be a bad signing. Why would you sign Vincent Jackson? He wouldn't be, I mean, what would you do with it? He's coming off the bench? No. No. Vincent Jackson and DeSean Jackson share the same last name. And as far as football comparisons, it kind of stops there. Their skill set, their talents are different. You see, Vincent Jackson is 6'4", 230, 240. He's a big guy. He's a strong receiver. He's the size of some teams' tight ends. He's lost a little bit of step. He struggled with some leg, calf, knee injuries for the last 4 years since he's been in Tampa. Actually, before he was in Tampa. And he's here. His foundation, the Action Jackson 83 Foundation, is doing well. Veterans in the area, throughout the area. Tremendous benefit for veterans. The community really embraces him. He was, I want to say, the Walter Payton Man of the Year. I think it was last year. Yeah, I think it was last year or this year. I know he got a Walter Payton Man of the Year award. So that's humanitarian. That's off the field stuff. So you want that kind of guy. He's a good leader. He's a good presence in the locker room. He's a good guy. That's stuff you want there. On the field, if he's healthy, he produces. The time he's been, if he's played, what was it? He's played more than 9 games in a season. He's pretty much, if he's played most of the season, if he's played most of the season. I think it was, 12 games. If he's had in games, in seasons where he's had at least 12 games, he typically has 1,000 yards. He's done it 5 times in his career. Since 2008, he's had 5 1,000-yard seasons. That's good. So he can still body guys up. He can still go up and get the ball. But what he, the role he plays would be different. He would be a 2 in some situations. He'd be a 3 in some situations. You know, it depends if they're in 11 or 12 personnel. If they're in 12 personnel, he could be the second tight end in 12 personnel. It just depends which way they want to utilize him. Now, from what I've learned from watching Jason Light and stuff that they've acquired, that he will sign guys more based on value than on what the hype is or who's the best. What kind of value are you getting out of him? If you got a guy that's 6'4", still has is probably going to be faster than most tight ends, and can push some guys around, size and strength, those are things that you can't teach size, you know? If you have size and you can play and you're healthy, he has hands. He can go up and get the ball. So they can utilize him over the middle, interchange him and Cameron Brate. You know, they can use They can use him in a lot of different ways. So I think that they end up signing him back for a 1 to 2 year deal with the guarantees on that, with maybe even a second or third year option, depending on which contract they go with those options not guaranteed. And for $2 to $5 million a year, SpotRec has his value at $4.6 million. He's rooted here. His family's moved here. You know, his parents live here now in Tampa. His kids are in school here. He doesn't want to leave. I think he'll take a discount, a little bit of a discount, you know. And if he doesn't, he'll say, I'm not going to take such a discount, but I'm willing to do whatever you need me to do. That alone changes stuff up. Because if they have DeSean Jackson back as their return guy, which they very well might, and he got hurt, God forbid, knock on wood, he got hurt doing that, you want somebody that can step in there right away. They don't want to run into the same problems they did last year where, you know, you're signing guys from other guys' practice squads and off of couches to come in and play football. That's not what they intend to do. So having a guy that's a veteran that they can rely on for, you know, $2 to $5 million a year for the next couple of years is good. I also think that they're going to end up drafting a wide receiver somewhere else in the draft. I don't know if it'll be, I wouldn't see it in the first round, probably not even in the second. The thing is, skills players like running backs and wide receivers, you can find those guys later in rounds and develop them and get what you want from them. You don't necessarily have to take those guys in the first round. So with their first round, you can see interior defensive lineman, so a defensive lineman or a defensive end, linebacker, or safety. Maybe even a corner. They probably go defense first round this year. Tight end maybe, depending on who it is there that's at that point. But I think there's guys in the second, third, and fourth round at tight end this year. I think it's a pretty deep tight end draft that they'll be able to find a guy later too. So they won't have to reach on somebody like Austin Seferian Jackson. They reached on him second round, top of the second round. He just couldn't keep his stuff together. And he had good hands. He was one of Jameis Winston's favorite targets. But, again, got to keep your life in order. Anyway, so that's all for the show today. So tune in tomorrow. I will get into I'll have the Bucks special tomorrow on free agency. Yes, I know that there will be some other signings other than DeSean Jackson. And I'll get more into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tomorrow on that special. Also, tomorrow's show, we will be getting into some other related things. I'm going to get into some NBA on tomorrow's show to the half. But that's all I got today. Appreciate y'all listening and tuning in. I'm Matthew Long, and I'm out.